Morning and happy Easter to you all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this special morning. And Father, as I share a few words and a couple of stories, Lord, may your spirit be at work and make it relevant to us. Amen. Now,
have a little PowerPoint.
And my first slide is a quote from the amazing Arsene Wenger. I know we've got a Manchester United fan in the room, so this might be a bit upsetting. He says, "Christmas is important, but Easter is decisive." It is possible that I have taken this quote out of context. However, I think Arsene Wenger was very right. Mel Gibson, when he wrote The Passion of the Christ, said that this is the greatest story ever told. Yesterday, or Friday rather, we walked down Town Street carrying a cross, and a group of Iranian refugees we know came walking with us. We didn't know what faith they were, but as we got talking to them, many of them said they were Christian. One took this leaflet and it's on his hotel bedroom. Here it is: "Jesus is risen." It's a banner that's outside the church at the moment too. And with it he said, "It is Christ who is the meaning of the whole world to me." And Mary, a broken, allegedly sinful person who'd had many demons cast out of her, arrived at the tomb wondering what she would find. And when she turned to what she thought was the gardener, and the gardener said her name, Mary, she knew that the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, knew her by name, and everything changed. What does it mean to be known by God by name? Easter Sunday is a time when we realize that Christ is exactly that. He is God and he knows us by name. It is a decisive moment for the Christian faith, just as Arsene Wenger said. Easter Sunday is the time when we sing songs like "The Greatest Day in History." It's when our greatest fear is defeated. Death, oh, where is thy sting? On this day, tombs opened as an earthquake broke out. Tombs opened and people were raised physically there, and metaphorically, we are raised too. The gates of heaven are opened. It is the first day, Christians say, of a new creation, a new start, a new beginning. Easter Sunday is a day when those who believe have confidence in the afterlife. But much more than that, it's a day which we understand as a vindication, the moment when, for us, we know that Jesus Christ really was who he said he was. He was the Son of God, and he was about his work of building a new kingdom, a new order. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And so when Mary hears Jesus' voice saying, "Mary," we too can hear Jesus saying our voice, that God knows us and he loves us and he's got a plan for our lives. There is a famous Good Friday sermon, and the sermon goes, "It's Friday." And it alludes to the death and the pain and the the morning of Good Friday. But don't worry, Sunday is coming. The joy of the resurrection is coming. It's Friday. They whipped him and they crowned him and they nailed him to a cross. But don't worry, Sunday's coming. But on this Sunday, on this Easter Sunday, I want to say it's Sunday. But there would be no Easter hope without Friday. There would be no great hope without Friday. The journey of the Holy Week, which we saw on that video, is a window into the human condition. When Jesus arrives in the temple courts, he didn't find a place that was made ready to be a place of prayer for all nations, where everyone would be welcome and everyone could receive God's mercy. What he found were people buying and selling. He found people who had taken religion and used it for their own purposes and their own power. Just as we see today. And Jesus had to turn the tables over and said, no, this is no good. This is not what it's for. And when Mary came with an alabaster jar full of perfume, full of her life savings, to pour it out on Jesus as a love offering, all his friends around misunderstood her. And they said, what a waste of money. That could have been given for the poor. They didn't understand what she was doing. Judas, one of Jesus' close friends, betrayed him. The crowds who sang Hosanna were persuaded to sing or shout, crucify him. So fickle we are in our human state. And then there was Peter, Jesus' right-hand man, maybe his best friend, the one who was going to stand with him, who said, wherever you go, Jesus, I will go. Whatever you go through, I will go through. On the night of Jesus' greatest need, Peter denies he even knows Jesus. Holy Week is a window into the human condition. As once has been famously said, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. The heart needs a healer. For every heart knows that it has sinned, and every heart knows that it's been sinned against. How does a God who loves respond to those he loves, but who have sinned and brought hurt and pain into the world? Paul writes these words. God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The writer to the Hebrews says, only one who is innocent can make a sacrifice for the guilty. He writes, every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who have been made right with him. A story of two friends I want to tell you. Two friends who grew up in primary school, went to secondary school, even went to college, and even went to university together. The best of pals until their paths went different ways. One went to become a judge, a very highly respected judge. The other's life fell away, first into petty crime, then into deeper crime, and then he was in a river of crime until he was caught and brought before a court. To his horror, as he looked up the judge was his old friend. The judge looked down at his friend with love. But he was a judge. He heard the crimes that had been committed. And as a judge, he had to do the right thing, the just thing. And so he made a judgment that he had to pay the fine. The fine was much more than the man, his friend, could pay. The friend looked up at his friend, the judge. The judge took his wig off, took his clothes off, walked down to the dock, stood alongside his friend, and wrote a check for the amount of the fine so he could go free. How does God deal with a world that he loves but has sinned? God pays the price for us that we can be free. God needs to be just, because all of us know that when things have been done against us, we need justice. There has to be a just penalty for sin. But God, in his love, wants to set us free. And so he pays the price on the cross. It was Good Friday brutal. It was a suffering that had no mercy. But it was a price that Jesus was willing to pay for you and for me and for Mary at the tomb, that he could say her name and say our name and say that he loves us. The cross is two sides of the same coin. The penalty of sin is death, and Jesus pays it. But in the same way, each of us has suffered. Each of us suffers because we live in a world of sinfulness. And we need to know that someone understands our pain and our suffering. We need to know that someone has been through it. And when Jesus is on the cross, we can be sure of this, that Jesus understands our human pain. He enters fully into our human existence. He identifies with anything that we've ever suffered. So we can be forgiven for what we've done, but we can go to somebody who understands what we're going through. A young person said to me, "Surely, Duncan, this is too easy. It's too easy. It's a way out." Well, no, it's not easy, because Jesus invites us to pick up our cross and follow him. That's our call, to give our lives wholly to him as he gave his life wholly for us. We're called to live lives which challenge injustice, which, even when it's unpopular, turn over the tables when we see people living in a way that oppresses others. We're called to be people who don't go with the crowd, who aren't swayed, who are willing to stand out when all the rest are shouting, "Crucify, crucify." We'll need to be prepared to be like Mary was, as we show love to this world, misunderstood, not appreciated by those around, but know that Jesus understands and appreciates. For to love is to risk. To follow Christ is a great risk in some ways, but it has the certainty that we follow the one who will be with us in this life and into the life that is to come. To follow him is to be known by Jesus by name. To know that we are loved enough for someone to die for us. And to know that someone understands our suffering. Easter, hope. comes because of what Jesus did on Good Friday. He opened up new possibilities. And I want to show you a little video. I think this story says so much. This is Emmanuel from Rwanda. I have learnt that Jesus forgives and have experienced love like I've never experienced before. Easter. Sunday hope comes because of what Christ did for us on Good Friday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for stories like Emmanuel's. We thank you that you transformed lives in the first century and you're still transforming lives today. Lord, we pray that you would transform our lives. Help us to know this morning the joy of Easter Sunday, knowing that you have paid the price for our forgiveness on Good Friday. Father, forgive the things we've done wrong and help us to put our trust in you for the future. Give us your spirit to live a resurrection life.